This past week, they just had the Westminster Dog Show on TV, an event in 2 days up in New York in Madison Square Gardens where the best of the best, the best of the dogs gather together in competition. And the dogs that are there are considered the best of the breeds in which they are entered in AKC. And then they crowned the champion, the best of the top dog this year that happened to be a poodle. In my opinion, I thought it should have been the Golden Retriever Daniel, but that's beside the point. But those dogs, they are considered the best of the dog world. A lot of things can be considered the best. Here this morning, I have a picture of what many people consider the best home in the United States. It's known as America's greatest home or greatest castle. It's the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. For those of you that are going on the bus trip, we're going to go in that house and have a tour of it. But imagine 250-room mansion for two people that live there. But some say that's considered the best of American home and American architecture. Some things are proven to be the best, like the best dog at the dog show. Some things are personal. Like I consider the best football team, of course, is the Steelers. The Steelers are considered the best, right? We all know that, right? Everybody in agreement? No? Not even close. Or the best place to eat in all the world is Shady Maple. Is that considered the best? We're in agreement of that one, okay? Or the best movie there is to watch is Star Wars. Kim would say it's Wizard of Oz. So some of those things are personal. Or the best thing to eat is pizza. But some are proven, some are personal. But Jesus is indeed simply the best. And that's what we've been learning as we go through this book. The theme of the book is Jesus is better. And we've been seeing that the writer of Hebrews wrote this letter to the Hebrew believers who were experiencing persecution, who were feeling of giving up on Christ because persecution was getting difficult for them. The adversities and trials were difficult in their faith, and they were thinking of returning back to the old Jewish ways. When they'd practiced Judaism, they weren't experiencing persecution. They thought, give up on Christ, and we'll go back and practice Judaism again. And he's been encouraging them to do that, and to give up on Christ is to walk away on our life and to walk away in the best we have. We have already seen how he showed us in chapter 1 that Jesus is better than the prophets, than all the prophets of the Old Testament, as great as they were. And there were some great prophets of God that he used to bring his word. But Jesus was greater than that because he is the very word of God himself, as we had seen. We also seen how Jesus is greater than the angels because Jesus created the angels. And the angels were created to serve him and to do his will. But today, we see that Jesus is greater than Moses. Now, in the Jewish mind, in the Hebrew mind, there had been nobody greater to them than Moses. After all, Moses was the one who God used to bring them out of deliverance and bondage and 400 years of captivity and slavery. Moses was the one who God used to lead them through the wilderness. And Moses was the one who God used to give them the law. And of all the people in Scripture, Moses was held up the greatest in all of Jewish history. For us, we'd say, in America, equating with George Washington, the founder of our country, the one who helped establish our nation. And we hold George Washington up there in high regard, and that's how the Jews did with Moses. He was the greatest of all of the people throughout their history. No one compared or came close to him, except one who was greater, and that is Jesus. In our scripture this morning, in these first six verses of chapter 3, the author compares the greatness of Moses with he was a great man to the greatness of Jesus. To Moses, who was faithful in what God called him to do, and to Jesus, who was faithful as our God and as our Savior. And as Moses, as great as he was compared to Jesus, he could not come close, because anybody compared to Christ falls way short. So he calls his reader, us, to consider Christ. Notice how he begins in verse 1. He says, "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling," he's reminding us that we share in a heavenly calling, that we share in heaven. We've been assured of that. And because we have a share in eternity, because heaven is our home, because we have a share in what God has promised us in the promised land, just as the Hebrews did, we have a share in the promised land. Fix our eyes on Jesus, or fix our thoughts on Jesus. Some translations use the word consider Christ. That word where he says fix your thoughts or consider Christ means to think about, or to reflect on, or to meditate. It takes time to observe, to take time to observe it. And so he's calling us to reflect on Christ this morning, to consider his greatness, to consider his faithfulness, and to take some time to dwell on doing that, because in doing that, when we look to Jesus, it gives us not only to discover his faithfulness, but it gives us the strength that we need to endure our times of hardship and adversity that we face. To consider something takes time and effort. That word consider is the same word that Jesus used when he said, consider the lilies of the field. Remember when he said that? He said, they don't either toil or spin, but yet your Father clothes them, and you're clothed much more than they. Then he says, consider the ravens of the air, that they don't either toil or spin or sow, but God feeds them and cares for them. For me as a Steeler fan, it's hard for me to say consider the ravens. But the Lord says, consider the ravens, and just take the time and think about that a minute. And sometimes we fail in our time of we getting anxious and we worry in our times of adversity because we don't take the time to consider that. And consider what he's saying there. The ravens, the birds, don't feed. They don't work or core, but God provides and cares for them. And then he goes, but you're much more valuable to me than they are. And he said, if I care for them that way, don't you think I'll care for you? So that word consider means to take the time to reflect. So this morning we're going to consider, and we're going to reflect on Jesus and his greatness and his faithfulness compared to Moses. Moses was great. He was a faithful man of God. But considering Jesus over Moses, we're going to discover some great truth and encouragement for our life. Why he is simply the best, and why he is considered the best. So let's go to the Word this morning and discover three truths that we can learn, three reasons why the writer says that Jesus is greater and can be considered the best, even over Moses. And in this, discovering his faithfulness seen in three ways, and it's his faithfulness displayed in three ways, it encourages us because our God is faithful. And because he is faithful, he is always there and dependable. As we consider the lilies, we consider his provision. When we go through those times of adversity, when we're tempted to give up, when we're tempted to throw in the towel and say, it's not worth it, it's too hard. When we consider the faithfulness of Christ displayed for us, it gives us the strength and endurance that we need. So first, let's consider the faithful foundation for the house that the Lord has established. And the house that he's talking about here is not a physical building. That makes it clear when we get to verse 6. He makes it clear that the house that he's talking about in these verses is not a physical foundation, but it's people. It's us, the people of God. So keep that in mind. When he's talking about the house, he's talking about you and me who belong to him by faith, those who are joined to him and members of his family. Today we would call it the church. But the faithful foundation for the house, we see it In verse 2, it says, he who was faithful, who was appointed to him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house to his people of his day. But fix your thoughts on Jesus, who was the apostle and high priest whom we confess. That word confess means we declare, we believe, our confession, our faith, what our faith is in, or who our faith is in. And the foundation upon which we built and are building our life. The faith foundation of the house is that Moses was appointed as a faithful messenger of salvation to Israel. Yes, Moses was great, but he was appointed by God to serve his day as a faithful minister in the house of Israel, the people of his day. And that word here, when he says an apostle, means sent one or appointed one. We don't often think of Jesus as an apostle. We think of Jesus as the one who sent the apostles out. But in this case, the author says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, who is our apostle, meaning our foundation, the one God sent to us to bring us his message. And Moses was appointed as that faithful minister of salvation in his day to Israel, and he was used by God to bring deliverance, as we've seen. God used him to deliver the nation out of slavery. He used him to bring the law and the word of God. He used him to establish the priesthood and to declare and to bring the nation into existence. And a lot of great things Moses did, and he was held in high regard. And Moses became the foundation for Israel. He became which the nation was built upon the foundation of his ministry, of what he had done. And all Israel looks to him, and that's understandable. But Jesus is greater because Jesus was appointed as a faithful messenger of salvation to the world. He, as we put our thoughts on him, he is our apostle sent by God to us, to the whole world, sent with the message of redemption, and our high priest. We talked a little bit last week about Jesus' work as a high priest, the one who makes intercession for us, the one who makes the sacrifice for sin. And the sacrifice that he made was his own life. The one who stands between God and the people and intercedes for us. And Moses was faithful to God in establishing the priesthood. And God spoke to Moses up on Mount Sinai and gave him all the instructions for the priesthood and how to put it together and how it was to be followed. And he gave all the restrictions for the sacrifices. And that was a purpose, because he tells us here that it was to testify of the future. That all the sacrifices and the priesthood that was established was all to point to Jesus, the ultimate one who would come. And Moses was faithful and established and used by God to put that in order and put that in place. But Jesus is greater because he was the high priest himself. He was the one through whom the prophet spoke. He was the one through whom all the sacrifices pointed to. And he was the greater sacrifice himself. God used Moses to bring salvation to Israel. But God, through Christ, brings salvation to the world. Which is greater? Jesus is simply the best there, because he brings salvation, provides it, and opens the door of salvation to everyone who will believe. Remember, in the Passover, when the day of deliverance came, they were to take that Passover lamb. It had to be without defect, and it had to be without blemish. And it had to be killed and sacrificed, and the blood had to be put in the top of the door and the sides. And Jesus, and the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Moses declaring that word to establish, to bring salvation. But it was a foreshadow, because the Passover lamb was referring to Jesus himself. And the blood put on the top of the door and the sides, both here and here, makes the form of a cross. A foreshadow of Jesus' own sacrifice, that when God sees the blood applied to your heart by faith, he passes over his judgment and gives us life. Isn't that great? And Jesus is greater than Moses in that regard. and the salvation that he brings. And the foundation that was established was that foundation of faith and the sacrifice of Christ built on him and the salvation that he brings us. Jesus appointed the messenger of salvation, the prophet, the apostle, and high priest, whom we confess, who we believe in, whom we acknowledge and confess as true, confess our faith in. Romans tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. And that's that confession that the foundation of the house is built upon. The greater foundation. Yes, Moses was good, but Jesus is far greater. And that foundation of Christ will endure. We're told in Ephesians, in the scripture I read at the beginning, that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Upon in him, the whole building rises together and becomes a holy temple in the Lord. And because our life is built on that solid foundation, because he is the cornerstone and the rock upon which we, the church, live and are built upon, that's what gives us the endurance. That's what gives us the ability when the hard times come, when the storms blow, when the adversities come, which we all have, when we get that news of cancer, when we get the unexpected call. It's difficult. Yes, it is. And those storms and the winds blow, and it's hard. And sometimes it feels like our house may blow back and forth and be battered, and it will. But if it's solid on the rock, we can have our roots down deep, and the soil of his word and truth will endure. And we'll have that endurance to remain, because Christ, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We have that song, Reliance. And that's what the author of Hebrews was encouraging the people to know. Jesus is considered the best because the foundation of the house is strong. It's the greatest foundation we can ever build upon. Jesus Christ himself, our solid rock. And he's faithful. It says that he was faithful. And that word comes up, but I want you to keep an eye on that word, because that word comes up many times, the faithfulness. He's talking about the faithfulness of Moses and the faithfulness of God. But greatly, is God is faithful, and the foundation of Christ is a faithful foundation. It's trustworthy, it's stable, it's reliable, he will not fail us. Praise God for that. Second, we see the faithfulness of Christ displayed. He's considering because we have the faithful builder of the house. Not only is Christ faithful as the foundation, but Christ is faithful as the builder of the house as well. And again, remembering the house, the people of God, us, the spiritual family. In verses 3 through 4, he said, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. He's greater than Moses in the fact that just as the builder of the house, of a house, is of greater honor than the house itself. I showed you a picture a while ago of a great, magnificent Biltmore estate. Quite a grand place. Quite magnificent. Known as America's greatest home. And it's grand and glorious. It surely is, the structure. But even greater than the structure was the person that built it and designed it and put it together. Because that building just didn't appear by itself. It had to be designed and had to be built. Kim told me the story one time whenever, and let's make sure I get this right. She'll make sure I get it right. Is that they were at Biltmore one time with her parents, and they were going through the tour, and there was a black man that was in the tour with them, right? And they were talking to him, and he said, this is the first time that I was able to go through the house. And he was telling his story, and they said, why? And they said, well, he said he helped build the house, right? He helped build the house, but because he was black, he was not allowed in it. But he was one of the ones who helped to build it and put it together. And Jesus says, the one who builds the house is greater than the house itself. And God used Moses to help build the house. But he was a member of it, but he wasn't the builder. Because Moses was faithful as a member of the house, he tells us here. He said he was faithful in verse 5. He was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, but he wasn't the house. He wasn't the builder of the house. He wasn't the one who established it. God himself, we are his people. We belong to him. Moses was simply a member of the house himself. He was a member of the nation of Israel. He was a part of it, but he was faithful as a member and servant within the house. And what does that mean to us? It means as members of the church of God, God calls us to faithfulness as members of his body. And how do we display that faithfulness as members of his body? By our service to him, by using the gifts that he's given us to do. We're told in 1 Corinthians that every one of us is a member of the body of Christ. But the head of the body is Jesus. But we're members. We have different roles and functions within that body. And when each one of us do the part that God's called us to do and given us to do, the whole body grows strong and is built up. And that's why it tells us in Ephesians that that's why he's given gifts to his church. That he's given gifts to his church that when we use those gifts, the entire body is built up and grows stronger. But Moses was not the builder. He was just a co-member of the church, of the body, just as you and I. The builder himself was God. And so he's using that argument to show us that Jesus is greater than Moses, because Jesus was just a member of the body. He was a fellow Israelite, just along with the rest of his people. But Jesus is faithful as the builder of the house. The church is his body. We belong to him. Jesus said, upon this rock, meaning himself, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Where I grew up in my hometown is this home, known as one of the greatest masterpiece of the work of Frank Lloyd Wright. Falling Water. Many people have gone all over and come all over the world to go tour that home, designed, and it's magnificent, and how it was built to blend into the architecture, to blend into the mountain, and the surrounding, built right over the waterfall. And it is quite a home. It's a masterpiece home. I wouldn't want to live there. I mean, it's not my style. But it's considered the greatest masterpiece work of Frank Lloyd Wright. But the glory of that house is not really in the house itself. It wouldn't have been there if it wouldn't have been for Frank Lloyd Wright, the builder. If he wouldn't have built it and designed it, it wouldn't have mattered, because it wouldn't have existed. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying, that we exist as the people of God. We are part of his house, part of his family, because of Jesus, who built everything. He said that every house is built by someone in verse 4, for God is a builder of everything. That God is a builder of our lives. That he is building us as his church to be his bride, for no foundation can be laid other than what has been laid, and that's Jesus Christ. And it tells us in Peter that you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a place where God lives by his Spirit. So the faithfulness of God, our builder, of Christ, our builder, is that he is building us, his house, into the people of God he wants us to be. He's building us into a holy nation. He's building us into a royal priesthood. He's building us to be more like himself. It tells us in 1 Corinthians that we need to be careful how we build, because we're building on the foundation of Jesus. And someday when we stand before him, we're going to give an account of that faithfulness in our life as he, our faithful builder, is working within us. So how does he build? The materials he builds in our life sometimes is bringing that unexpected driver pulling out in front of you to build patience into us. Or sometimes he uses that person in the cash register line who's standing there and trying to figure out and count their last coins, and they're taking all this time to get through the line and you're in a hurry. And to me, it always seems to happen. I always pick the wrong line. And he uses that person to build character and to build patience in me so that I become more like Christ and become the holy building temple of God he wants me to be. Or he uses that irritant of that person that you just do not like too well. I won't say can't stand, but you just don't like too well. And he brings that person into your life to be that source of irritation to you. You say, but why? So that you will learn to forgive me as well. So we learn to be patient with that person. So we will learn to become more like Christ and more gracious to people that are hard to show grace to. That's how he builds us into him. Or he brings adversity, or he brings hard times in our life to make us more like himself. We all know how a pearl is formed, right? And a pearl is formed, that beautiful pearl, by irritation of sand that comes into the oyster, and it irritates it. And the oyster secretes around it, and around that source of irritation, it eventually turns into a beautiful pearl. And that's what God does with us, and that's how he builds his church in us. Builds us, his church, up through sometimes those hard times, those irritations, those trials, those adversities, those times when our patience is tested. Because through it, we become refined and become built as a holy church in him. So remember that he is faithful as the builder. Moses was a member of the church, a member of God's family, but Christ our Lord is the builder of the family, the house himself. And he is faithful, and we can trust him. So whenever the hard times come, whenever those irritants in our life come, remember that it's Jesus, our Lord, building us to be what he wants us to be. And he's faithful in what he does. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to remind them. He's faithful in what he does. So don't give up. Don't lose heart. But keep pressing on. And that's what the Hebrews needed to know. That's what we need to know. Because we all face them. We all face those hard times in our life. We always will. We're not immune to them as long as we are in this world. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're built up in Christ, who is the author, who is the foundation upon which we build. And third, Jesus is greater than Moses. As we consider his faithfulness displayed, is considering Jesus because he is the faithful owner of the house. He's the foundation, he's the builder, and he's the owner. The church belongs to him. We are joined to him. Verses 5 and 6 say that Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, testifying to what could be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house. If we hold on to our courage and hope of what we boast. Again, in calling for that perseverance, holding on to our courage and our hope. Because Christ is faithful, we have a solid foundation. Hold on to that courage. Hold on to that hope. Continue to endure. And that message keeps coming through Hebrews all the way through. But he's faithful as the owner of the house because Moses was faithful as a servant. It said that he served God as God's people. He did what God had sent him to do, to bring deliverance, to bring them through the Red Sea, to serve the God's people. For 40 years he served them in the wilderness. And he gave his life serving God's people, the people of Israel, as a servant of God. And he was faithful in that. And imagine how difficult that must have been for Moses. Imagine putting up with 2 million constant complainers. Could you imagine putting up with 2 million constant complainers? That he takes them into the wilderness and they want to go back to Egypt. He brings them out of slavery, they want to go back in. Then they complain that they don't have anything to eat. So God provides for them. And then they get tired of the manna and what God did provide, and they complain about that, so God gives them meat. Then they complain they don't have anything to drink, so God provides water. They still complain. Constantly for 40 years. God provided for them as well, that it says that their shoes never wore out. For 40 years he provided, even that kept their shoes from wearing out. He provided everything they needed for 40 years, but they still continued to complain. But Moses was faithful to continue to serve them day in and day out. He was a faithful servant of God. And serving God's friends is not easy. There will be those people that will always like to sit back and take shots. You know, there will be those people like to criticize when you serve God and want to do what he's called you to do. Those complainers will always be there. The naysayers will always be there. The people that try to discourage will always be there. But God calls us to faithfully serve him in the midst of it and not give up. He said, don't lose courage. Don't lose heart. Continue to be faithful as Moses was. And he was a faithful servant to the end. But he was only a servant in the house, as great as he was. Jesus was greater because he is faithful as the son over the house, it says. Because a son is greater than a servant in a household. And a son becomes the heir. And a son becomes the owner. And that Jesus is the owner of the house. We belong to him because he is God's very own son. He purchased the church with his blood and redeemed us and established us to himself. And he is the faithful son of God that has his baptism. And that's what this picture is. When the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the word of the Father said, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." I am pleased with him. He honors me. He is doing what I've called him to do. And the son is greater than a servant. As great as Moses was, and as faithful as he was, Jesus is greater and more faithful still. And Jesus is better, and he is considered the best. Better than the prophet, any other prophet that ever spoke. Better than the angels that God created. And even better than Moses himself. The Hebrews needed to be reminded of that. They needed to stop and consider how great Jesus was in the midst of their hardship. And in the midst of our hardship too, we need to stop and consider again and fix our thoughts on Christ and take that time to reflect on him and his faithfulness to us and how faithful he is, so that we don't lose heart, so that we don't become discouraged. That's the opposite of courage, because he said, in verse 6, if we hold on to our courage and hope. Discouragement is the opposite of courage. And when we lose our courage, we will become discouraged. That's where Satan wants us to live. The Bible says that Satan's goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And when we belong to Jesus, he can't take our life. He knows that we belong to him, and he can't steal our eternal life from us. But one thing he can steal is our joy and our courage. And one of the main weapons he likes to do it is to discourage us and to keep us living in that point of discouragement and despair. Because when we're living down there, we're not living joyfully in the joy of the Lord where he wants us to be. And discouragement is the opposite of courage. And he gets us discouraged by taking our mind off of considering how faithful Jesus is. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, who is faithful. Who is faithful as the foundation upon which you build your life, who is solid, who will endure under all that comes our way, who is faithful as the builder of your life and is building you and shaping you into who he wants you to be, building you to be more like himself. And he is faithful as the owner of your life, that we belong to him. And when we belong to him, we are in his hand. Nothing can separate us from him. He holds us secure. He holds us fast. And he seals us with his very own mark. And knowing that we belong to Christ, that we are in him, gives us security and confidence that we need to live faithfully for him in the midst of day-to-day living. So consider Jesus. You, brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, because you share, have a share in heaven, fix your thoughts on Jesus so that you don't become discouraged and don't lose hope. He is building, he is a foundation of your life, the faithful builder and faithful owner of who we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that indeed you are faithful. You are the foundation, the rock upon which we build our life. And we thank you for servants of God in the past who you used. And we thank you for Moses, who was faithful to you, that you used him, Lord, to help establish the nation of Israel, to bring them out of captivity and to bring salvation to them in their day. But Lord, you used him as a servant within your house, as a member of your house. And Lord, we're thankful for the people that you brought in our life, who you used to bring us to you as messengers of salvation in our life. We thank you for the Sunday school teachers, for the pastors, for our parents, for our grandparents, for those, Lord, who helped lay a foundation of faith in our life. For those, Lord, that taught us and were messengers of salvation faithfully to us, that without them, Lord, we would not have known how to build our life upon that foundation in you. So we thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, we thank you more of all for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness that you are the rock solid that we build our life upon, and you remain ever true and sure. And that when we build our life on you, is solid and will endure. We thank you as well, Lord, that you are the builder of our life and that you are shaping us. And you use the hard times, you use those irritants in our life, you use difficult people and situations sometimes and adversity in order to build more of your character and likeness in us and to build us into the holy people of God, your house that you want us to be. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the master builder and designer, that you have a plan, and that you are building our lives according to your good plan and design, that you are the architect of our life, and you already had the blueprint laid out for us. You know where you want us to be. And we thank you that you are building and shaping our life and building it in accordance with that plan that you have designed for us, and that you are faithful to complete what you have started. And Father, we thank you as well that you are faithful as the owner of our lives, that we belong to you and you keep us secure, that we are marked by you, we are owned by you, and no one can steal us from you because we are secure in you, our Savior. And Lord, our lives are secure in you. Thank you for that, Lord, that we belong to you. We are your family, adopted, given your name, Christ, Christian, one like Christ, one who belongs to you. So thank you, Lord, that Jesus is better. You are indeed the best, better than any who ever was or ever will be, because you are God yourself. So we worship your greatness. We thank you. We could never, ever give up on you. We could never turn our back on you for all that you've done for us. So, Lord, thank you for that truth. Thank you for who you are and for your presence in our life. Because you are faithful to us always, may we be faithful to you in all things. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.